$12 at the door. Reduce rates for seniors, students, and the underemployed. Tickets are available through ResiStom office at 974-9188, Deck Book Room, Drum Travel, Natalie's Decadent Dessert, the Saints of Rosedale Library, and Book World. For more information, please call 974-9188. A benefit for Computers for Nicaragua, sponsored by ResiStom, CIUT, and CKLN-FM. CKLN and the Theater Center present 7 on the Richter Scale from August the 15th through to September the 2nd. 7 on the Richter Scale is the restaging of 7 of the productions that created seismic activity in the Annex during the Fringe. August the 15th to the 19th, See No Elvis, Hear No Elvis at 8 p.m. from CMS Productions. 9 p.m., Actors Union's Love After Death, adapted from Tennessee Williams. August the 22nd till the 26th is Toronto's Queer's Double Bill. 8 p.m., it's Kleptosis by Audrey Butler. 9 p.m., Theater Offal's Quantum Kumquat and the Chaos Game. August 28th to September the 2nd, 8 p.m., it's the premiere of Peter Lynch's Funhouse Vertigo. 9 p.m., Under the Bridge Theater's Adult Child, Dead Child. Bring your own garlic for late nights, Friday and Saturdays, August 17th, 18th, 24th, 25th, and the 31st. Son of Incubus Theaters with Lies of the Vampire. 7 on the Richter Scale will also include special afternoon play readings, 2:30 p.m. August the 25th, it's The White Bird by Edward Roy. 26th, also for Roy, it's Creatures Like Us.
We are physics, you know, try to think of it literally. I don't mean it metaphorically.
Okay.
And if you see it as a live extension of your animal organism.
You're on tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
Fantastic, baby.
Fantastic. Well, maybe it's because I talked to you and gave you some private teachings before this show, because I got that garbage out and leaves me free to talk new garbage.
Thank
right?
goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. But so I'm on. Okay, I made my point.
Well,
about that new organ.
See, to me, it doesn't change my approach to religion. All this stuff.
Well, religion is a specialist activity. That's a private emotion.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're working with, isn't it?
That's one of the things that is part of our cultural baggage. It's ancient, and that will be dealt with on the show tonight, Kent's show,
mm-hmm.
205, about religion as an institution. That's a key thing. Since we embrace all things under electric conditions, then religion's not going to go away. It'll change its shape.
Yeah.
But that specialist emotion will always be there, and we'll need new figures for the new ground it lives in. Now, to be beyond religion, what some people call spiritual or enlightened or supreme
right.
awareness has to deal with the new organism.
Okay, you can elaborate on that a bit.
Yeah, that's why I told you privately, don't get too involved in meditation.
Right.
Just do that as like playing ball hockey or something. You know, do it a little bit on the side. But you can understand your situation stronger if you study the holy offices. And that will make you an incredible meditator. As a matter of fact, you probably think you want to move your meditation from your head down to your heart. You want to move your consciousness, your focal point of being, from your head to your heart. You realize that we've been displaced, that consciousness is not in our bodies. Where is it? How is it?
Well, I was going to say there is no seat of selfhood.
There is.
Well, where is it?
Okay.
I mean, if it exists, then surely it has a center.
Ah, why do you assume it has a center?
Because
it feels like it has a center.
You can't prove that it exists if you can't point to where it is. It doesn't exist unless you can prove it exists. And you can't find it. There's no center, there's no self, there's no soul. Where, you know, surely we would have found it by now. You're off. You're not there.
Okay, you found your center in that moment. You found your center. Okay, mm-hmm. Now you know where it is. You felt it right then.
Yeah.
I'm making claims that you're not sure you agree with, right?
Right. You always do that.
Yeah, yeah. I try to push the envelope and have you agree with it. It's not necessarily true, right?
But the winner is...
What? What'd you say?
The envelope. The envelope, please.
Yeah.
And the winner is...
But dealing with the center, you say you can't see it. I can see you. I can hear you. I know you exist. Now, this is the point, is that you exist through others. That's
right.
The interval.
Okay.
So your center is others.
Okay, that's... That,
you don't feel that
that's
way.
That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it.
Now, others is discarnate images today.
Yeah.
All right, so you exist through them, too.
Got it.
So when you walk, you got it?
Yeah.
You got breakthrough?
Well, I knew that, but I was saying that in and of itself, nothing exists. Like, I couldn't exist without you, vice versa. That level of yesness, I can rock.
Yeah, and that's the interval. You don't know where you leave off and where I begin.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm part of you. And you.
What
now,
it
that's
mean?
Simple.
Oh,
now, the words Y-O-U and the letter I are so puny compared to what the images it incorporates. And take automobiles. You're an automobile. You're the chrome dinette. You're the space challenger blew up. You're all
making
these
you
things.
Like it.
Yeah.
Now, this is what. How can a doctor analyze that? You know what I mean? You know, where's the acupuncture point for the electric body we've become?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Earth acupuncture.
Well, solar government.
To go with.
Now, you take each and technological environment, including the old nature, as mythic structures.
Mm-hmm.
So interrelate, this is poetry, you know, to perceive this. You know, I mean, it's the poetic vision.
We're post.
The vision, to quote Yeats, right?
The vision.
And I tell you, nobody approximates the metaphor of that than Finnegan's Wake. Finnegan's Wake points to all this, which I act out. That's why I run the mythic government. I act out this through my awareness. I have become the seen and the doer and the done. Right? If I can see it and visualize it, then I become it just by thinking it and perceiving it. So therefore, I'm the greatest artist that ever lived. Right?
You're asking me?
Again? I don't think this guy wants to go along with this, Mike.
No, I have to play the, you know, like you were describing, all is not one.
Immigrants?
Yeah.
There's one taste, but you always have to be on the side of the deviator.
Yeah, it's like the after image.
No, right. So
after image. We're all after images.
Well, me. Stay tuned.
And you know what? You know when you look at an after image, you change the color. That's what's interesting. You look at an object and then get the after image. You change the color of the original object. We make in the after image.
That's resonant.
It is ridiculous to talk about this.
It's beautiful.
Now let's go back to the Peterson, right?
Peterson.
Well, isn't that ridiculous?
No. Go ahead.
Christine Hart. I mean, when are we going to hear from Christine Hart?
I don't know. Where are the women? That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Connie. This caller suggested privately we have Connie down for Halloween. We're on Halloween, you know, Mike.
Oh, are we?
And Connie, I won't say whether it'll happen or not right now, but she's pondering it, and it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem for Connie to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say that much, because I did energize it with you privately that maybe with Connie would evoke the women, right?
Yeah.
They're there.
She could spin them in to the hidden ground, but to the ground that we create.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got it. So I don't know if Connie is going to be able to do it, but it would be interesting to have it attempted. But I think the women are going to remain complimentary and incompatible. They complement this show. They're listening. They're taping.
You hate,
but they're using it for getting Canada Council grants. They're competing with you. I know that Donald Lipchick and anybody who writes for Metropolis or the girl that does the buzz for Now Magazine or Metropolis and Talk of the Town, they use my stuff in their descriptions of their social life.
Uh-huh.
And they're smart. They do their surveillance and then they turn it into cash. And the left hemisphere guy stays home and comes be passive, right? Like yourself, right?
Yeah, well, that's why you're comfortable with everything, is because you don't see it as divided up into you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution, that whole dogma of that eco-passive
nonsense. There's no dialectic here.
Right.
And it's a tetrad. So it's the dialectics involve in flipping on each other and becoming each other as the grounds for them flip. So it's easy to do this. I don't mean this as garble. Mm-hmm. This is technical talk.
Just like James Joyce accounts for every word he writes. It's not garble. You know.
You can prove that?
Well,
you're spouting dogma again. But that's you becoming me, which I welcome, because somebody's got to take over someday. I mean, I can't be Bob forever, right?
Well,
probably I will.
So, Mike.
Hi.
How the hell are you?
I'm okay. Very busy lately. Yeah.
Mike's recording. He's making his own studio here,
yeah.
You know?
That was great making there. So, any response to the tape I sent you?
Oh, yeah, the beef heart tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Well, I did, yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, wild stuff.
Sounds like you're having fun doing it.
That was him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever play live or just...
We never played live. We died.
Oh, you died?
Yeah.
So
we were 1 year in the living room and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was special.
But ask him why Beefheart was an influence.
Well, you just did, though.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask?
Okay, I did.
What? But
Mike just asked, why is Beefheart such an influence?
I don't know. He seems to have the stuff.
What does he have?
The incomparable nonsense.
Ah.
I just made that up.
Yeah, incomparable nonsense. It's Finnegan's way. It's a watered-down Finnegan's wake in the acoustic medium.
Yeah, he's just a... I don't know how to explain it.
He deals with puns.
Yes, he does.
He's playful, but he is the old tactile, the old nature. He's adamantly opposed to the pink structure, and he runs with the dinosaurs and the wildlife in the desert, right?
Yeah, he's the Neanderthal man from the future.
Yeah. Now, that's a specialized image, which was attractive in the first effect of the space Sputnik created ecology in the 60s. And he brought back the harmony or nostalgia for the divine animal of nature. But you see, it wasn't an image with staying power, because he didn't deal with the new nature. Nobody deals with the new nature, except Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah.
And that's what I recommend, that Marshall McLuhan, you listen to Beefheart while reading Marshall McLuhan. You're on your way to at least being a guest host with Mike.
Would you say that the source is always in the past?
Yes.
Okay. Now I understand your Tim Leary bias. That's better.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That helps you sleep today?
No, that...
Okay, but don't forget to stay up and tape or listen, tape the show is coming up.
Somebody else better tape it, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Nice. For God's sake, and don't meditate, play ball hockey. I think that's the best advice you've ever given.
How about this, Mike? I accept that. That is good. And how about this? Do whatever you want, as long as it hurts someone. How about that? Now, you've heard that...
Can you repeat that again?
Do whatever you want, as long as it hurts someone.
Well, that's a sub-genius
that's
slogan if I ever heard one.
That's new, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've heard even Frank Zappa say, do what you want and let people do what they want if it's not hurting anybody. We got to flip it. That's a cliche.
Yeah.
It's creeps
numbness.
So our new slogan for the 90s is, do it if it hurts someone.
We have 10 minutes.
Ooh.
10 minutes to 2. The end of the Church of the Sub-Genius show.
Get the church hymn ready.
I will have it ready shortly.
Side one,
We do have a caller.
Great.
Let's go to this caller, and maybe this caller can wrap things up. Although, you know, we do get a flurry of calls. People realize they only have minutes left to wrap with Bob on the air, and then another 2 weeks goes by.
This could be the silent caller, too.
No, it isn't. I know it's a record magnet. And a
magnet.
A magnet, and he has a question for you.
Okay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, Mike. You got your cyberspace goggles on?
You want virtual reality? We got the last topic, virtual reality. You want that, right?
Hit us.
Okay, virtual reality. Reality, change it to R-E-E-L-I-T-Y. Reality, right?
Real.
Film. Movie.
You're watching
film.
A movie.
No.
Okay.
That's the beginning. You take film in the 30s and 40s, maybe even before that. That's the American bias, the kinetic manipulative reality extended by movies is Hollywood, is the world American entertainment environment, all right? Then television killed Hollywood. Then video killed radio. Now, how do you mix the corporate media? The mixed corporate media is a hologram, all right? The hologram is seeing in all directions at once. Acoustic space, you hear in all directions at once. The first effect of television was acoustic, hearing in all directions at once, vibratory rock and roll, okay? And rock and the various contortions of the electric music world. All right, now, with remote control, video recorders, the whole private satellite dish, no longer hypnotic, no longer subjected to the beat of the television mass media effect, all right? Okay, so you start to get electric autonomy in the 70s and 80s with personal computers and private video technologies.
And Tim Leary hoiking it up.
And Tim Leary hoiks up the service of that. Now, that is what the private consumer was involved in. Sony products, all right? All right, now, or IBM products. On the public level, the collective image, which is mixed corporate media, that became a hologram, or, as Dr. Beter said, organic robotoids. No substance, all right? The image had no substance, but it was a substance that communicated in all directions. Now, virtual reality first of all, the phrase takes artificial technology and calls it reality, and then says it's virtual. That means we've gone into the human scale that I talked about this summer. We've gone post-electronic. Therefore, the previous electronic reality seems to be real, seems to be virtual. The discarnate state has been accepted on a consensus level by our sensory evolution as to be new nature and real. Now, how do you privatize that? You put video goggles on that give you the movie experience, but it is better than the movie. It's hologram. You see in all directions at once.
Yeah.
Am I making a pattern here? Are you following the phases?
Yeah, your history, okay.
Okay, so the mixed corporate media illusion that Baudrillard talks about, the mirage of mixed corporate media, he doesn't say it as well as I do, but he tries to approximate it with the word simulations. The mixed corporate media simulations was the holographic environment. We now have gone past that, therefore you can sell the corporate holographic environment to private consumers.
Mm-hmm.
That's virtual reality, and it seems real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next technology after this will be direct sensory, internal sensory stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Wires in the head or however they're going to do it. You're going to have a total inner experience stimulated behind your eyes and ears. So virtual reality. Virtual implies visual bias, virtue, visual purity. That's American movie bias. Virtual, virtue.
Mm-hmm.
It seems real. It's movie, but it's mixed corporate media movie in all directions at once. It's hologram. So virtual reality is a natural evolution from the collective invisible environment of the hologram now offered to you. That means if it's offered to you, it's obsolete. Therefore, we're in a new environment, post-electronic, post-hologramic. It is a new desire for human scale. Hence the rise of communalism, as a retrieval of the counterculture in the 60s, an offering of human scale as popularized in the Mondo 2000 magazine Commune.
Yeah, but you can be anything you want in virtual reality. You can sleep with anybody you want. You can create any environment that you want. I mean, it doesn't sound so bad, does it, Bob?
No, it's an acceptance of making your own electric autonomy.
Uh-huh.
See, you make it, but we've been making that acoustically for 20 years. Now we're going to make it visually with the hologram. See, that's why it's better than movie. It's the maker. It's the eye as broadcaster, as a maker of the environment. Visual man received visual impressions passively for 400 years under the Gutenberg effect. Now, visual environment is hallucinated upon, x-rayed, punned on by our own eyes as when you take drugs. Now that's why psychedelic drugs come back with virtual reality, because they have a resonance with the fact you are making a visual environment. You're hallucinating and broadcasting and imposing your faces and preferences on your visual situation. And that's hologramic. Hologramic is the technology to have every space available. So this is going to make a colossal sense of consumers of this. Right? The super angelic state will be more understandable as people consume virtual reality technology.
Yeah. But what about... I don't know. People will just really lose touch. I think it's a really backward step, but a lot of people will be able to use it creatively in order to entrap other people, and it seems like a pretty obvious military operation again, and it's being brought through in entertainment. It's starting with Nintendo. They have a power glove for like $65, and it...
Well, Tim Lear has always been an agent of the Defense Department.
Yeah, you said that, and then I guess the recent things that happened when you were down somewhere else regarding his family.
Yeah, the day I walked into his area, his daughter hung herself. Did you know that, Mike? Did you hear that? You probably didn't hear it. September 7th, I walked into the Mellon household, and the Mellon lady, the key backer of Tim Leary's movement, had just gotten word that Tim Leary's daughter, at the age of 37, hung herself. So that should tell you something, Mike.
So Bob was always working behind the scenes to keep the balance and the karma up our back. Up our back. You know what I mean? Straight and tall? So I hope that I have explained the hologram privatization, the hologramic space with the intensity that Mike intends with his music right now. So, Mike.
Don't let that music. Just the church theme. Can you just rewind it a bit? Rewind it?
Yeah. Well, did you play it?
No, I heard.
Oh, I thought I heard it.
No, I haven't played it.
Okay, good. I hallucinated. Okay. Thanks a lot, caller. Did I explain virtual reality enough?
Jerry's already signed off. That was Jerry who was throwing that music over the air.
Was it? Oh, I thought
it
was you.
No, it was Jerry.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then I thought I heard the theme song.
No.
Because I saw you put the tape in.
I put the tape in, but it's just...
Side one, ready to go?
All set.
Okay, what time is it? 2 o'clock?
Minutes away from two, so time, I guess, to end.
Well, Mike, outstanding show again.
Well, it's been 5 weeks, and I think we've been building up to it. You and I haven't communicated in that time, other than one brief phone call.
And I think we've got... I just got a feeling we got Ryerson students, or new people, in town.
Yeah.
It's a fall season, right? A new batch.
Part of that. Still, I think I agree with... our second last caller, you know, where are the women? And still a bit of a sore point with here at the Church of the Subunions. The last woman who called, I think, gave us a recipe for the rhubarb jam.
Oh, yeah, and I got a... did someone mention that to you?
No.
Part of Tim Hoffa's... No. Look at this. Women's Corner, care of Bob. All right. Someone sent in a little package and pamphlet showing the recipe spelled out how to make strawberry rhubarb jam.
Oh, that's lovely.
And you see it has the woman with the 50s kind of pans and oven, and the woman's putting a little bob head in the pot. You see that?
Well, that's in sync with the image of J.R. Bob Dobbs that's portrayed in the Church of the Subgenius book.
Yeah, my father.
The 50s icon.
That looks like my father.
It does.
Yeah.
The jam, yeah.
Okay, Mike, thanks for coming back. We missed you, and... I'm ready to hear the church hymn. This is a mood projected by this song to bounce off the moods that we've experienced tonight, many as they've been.
Stay tuned. Kent Perry is in at 2 o'clock. And,
the awesome exes.
Kent is leaving at 2 o'clock, so Bob will be taking over from 2 to 7.
It'll be a Excellent. Fest.
Okay.
And it'll be an Exodus press conference
back,
in 5 minutes.
I'll be back. Like I said, I may not be back next week. Do you want to fill in for me next week? We can talk about it later.
Yeah, okay.
About this festival.
Well, you'll be back in 2 weeks.
I'll see you in 2 weeks for sure.
And we'll continue talking with the Subgeniuses about this dilemma. It's a big dilemma.
J.R. Bob Dobbs, I'm Michael Dyer. Have a very good night.
By and by, you knew that you'd make me cry.
By and by, you knew that you'd make me cry.
My love for you will never die.
My love for you will never die.
Because I had to find out on my own.
Do I lost your love? I'll take it like a man. But I'll be thinking of
check yourself, baby. Ask the man, Gene Chandler, the Duke of Earl. And check yourself. Daddy Cool's Blues Time on a Monday evening. Blues, rhythm and blues.
Church hymn tonight, so the heck with it. We just went into something a little different for just basically milliseconds so I can get that tape out of this cassette deck. Coitus interruptus and destroy,
kill.
Get rid of that thing. It's horrible. This is, of course, Sherman Skolnick on CKLN.
Hi, Sherman Skolnick, Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, 9800 Oglesby. What causes wars and depressions? There has always been a debate on that. Some contend they are caused by inevitable economic forces. Others spell out vast international conspiracies. Too many 17-year-old men and too little work for them. Some say war then comes natural. When our working people are sore at their working people, well, a minor matter. But when our ruling class is angry at their ruling class, well, that means war. Others contend good times and bad times run in cycles. In 1979, the Shah of Iran made changes too vast for his backward people. The Western intelligence agencies that created the Persian dictator were ready to throw him away. But the new guy, Ayatollah Khomeini, a creature of British intelligence, demanded the New York bankers give back some $12 billion on deposit for Iran. Yeah, but Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan Bank didn't have it anymore. They loaned it out to deadbeats. So they arranged to have most all the U.S. Marine guards withdrawn at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. The Iranian agitators, naturally, were free to seize the embassy and hold 52 of our people hostages. This was a good excuse for President Jimmy Carter, a Rockefeller puppet, to freeze all of Iran's assets here, preventing a run on the Rockefeller banks, including First National of Chicago, already shaky. Carter's bid for re-election was wrecked when the Reagan-Bush campaign made a dirty deal in Paris, October 1980. George Bush arranged to give $40 million and $5 billion in arms to the Ayatollah, who promised to keep the hostages until Reagan was sworn in as the new president. Details of Bush's treason are in the book October Surprise by Barbara Honegger. To keep up the price of oil, the U.S. oil fakers supplied weapons to Iran's neighbor, Iraq, and helped foment a historical hatred between them. Result? Oil was high until a price collapse in 1986. Some of the secret U.S. arms deals with Iraq went through a branch of an Italian Mafia Vatican Bank in Atlanta, Georgia. They now claim, now get this, they somehow lost tens of thousands of related records. Oh, yeah? George Bush himself and his family, being oil fakers, also secretly supplied arms to Iran. By 1990, bled after a 9 years war, Iraq couldn't pay back the oil bankers. Oil prices got too low. Besides, George Bush's cronies in Texas were bankrupt by the oil plunge. Bush's son, Neil, is a super agent for the Rockefeller oil octopus, including Amoco. Also, natural economic forces were pushing the U.S. toward a depression, worse than the 1930s. Too many young people, not enough work, or time for the 60-year business cycle. So the U.S. warmongers arranged to have Iraq invade their other neighbor, oil-soaked Kuwait. Result? Worldwide war scare. And war profiteers had visions of a new boom. Would it somehow offset the Pentagon cutbacks? So is it all a boom and bust cycle? Economic forces? A vast conspiracy? By the way, footnote, Bush has been a member of the Conspiratorial Trilateral Commission. So pick your favorite explanation and run with it. Just another story suppressed by the liars and whores of the press. You know who we mean, those with the $50 hairdos and the nickel heads. Playing again, in case of war in the Mideast, will there be mass arrests of U.S. citizens here who oppose the White House war policy? 731-1505.
Community Radio in Toronto.
Monday's Word of Mouth gives you a controversial look into the workings of America's secret government. For the Record is a documentary series which examines the history and function of the U.S. intelligence services and their influence worldwide. Produced and researched by Dave Emery, For the Record brings you the hidden history of the 20th century, a history you won't find in textbooks.
American clandestine operatives intervened in the internal politics of Germany, Italy, and France. In Sicily, the forerunner of the CIA, the Office of Strategic Services, formed an alliance with the Sicilian mafia to limit the political gains of the Italian Communist Party on this impoverished island.
From World War II through the Kennedy assassination in Vietnam, Watergate and the hostage crisis, into the 1980s with Washington's war on Central America and the Iran-Contra affair, and into the 1990s with the savings and loan scandal and the war on drugs, Dave Emery traces the connections, names the names, and exposes the true motivations of the people who occupy the seats of power worldwide.
U.S. intelligence agencies in Asia used opium-smuggling organized crime syndicates to fight communism, and this led to a restoration of the heroin traffic in that part of the world. The organized crime syndicate used by the United States in Asia was the Shanghai Green Gang, quote-unquote.
For the Record is part of the Radio Free America Archive series. For the Record, part of Monday's Word of Mouth, heard between 7 and 8 p.m. only on CKLM.
CKLN is pleased to announce the opening concert of Array Music's 1990-91 season, Chroma 2, Sunday, September 30th, 8 p.m., at the Maridon Theater, Harborfront. Array Music's recital will showcase music written for chamber ensemble, exploring instrumental colors. The Array Music Ensemble will be performing the Canadian premiere of Toronto composer Christos Hepzits Prisma. Also,
it's what Bob Marshall's been waiting for. A very distant perspective. In other words, yeah, like extraterrestrial perspective. Yeah. I think that they would have a better handle on all the complexities of the visual space manipulations over the last 600 years.
We also have the pseudo-exist doing some work a little later on.
Oh, the pseudo-exist is going to be here?
Well, I have him on tape.
Oh, okay, good. That's the necessary echo.
Yeah.
All right. This interview with the Exus, conducted by me, occurred on April 19th, 1990. And I had discussed some of the topic, approached the dilemma of how to get some information on it with the channel for the Exus, a person named Michael. And so in the opening question, I bring up with the Exus what I talked to with Michael about preceding the trance. This goes on for 45 minutes, then we got to flip the tape, and there's probably another 15 or 20 minutes. I think the total Exus interview is about 60 minutes, 60, 65, 70 minutes.
We'll and have to go for 62, so I do have to do a break at that time.
At the 45-minute break, we'll do commercials.
Spots.
And the thing is that at the end of 60 minutes or so, you're going to hear another person talk. We say goodbye to the Exus. And you're going to hear Michael, who comes out of trance after channeling the Exus, which landed inside his head. Sometimes they do. So that they can be accessible to us at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear the voice change of the speaker, because it's Michael as Michael giving his impressions in the dream state he was in. So he's going to talk about the images that were evoked by my questions and our dialogue with the Exus. He does not know in trance what's being talked about, though he does have memories when he wakes up. So you'll hear the voice change in the last five or so minutes, and you'll hear Michael's impressions of the Exus communication. All right, so I think this is going to be a great enema for clearing up a lot of questions that Bob Marshall raised here. Okay?
And we're ready.
Michael and I were talking at the break about the problem of money and how the bottom line is the control of the medium of money and who gets to have money. Yeah. This is the conspiracy. This is the old way of how to liberate money into the new environmental technological situation we can potentially have now. What is controlling money? We know that people are controlled by the thought of money, but what on the human people oligarchical level is controlling banking right now, and what are they going to do with this new fractionalization that's going to happen?
First, a very quick history. Christianity called interest on money loaned as immoral and against God, and that anyone who loaned money at interest had lost their chance at heaven. Well, since this did not affect the Arabs, had a considerable amount of money and money loaned at interest, and had achieved some interesting stabilities in interest rates. Well, in Europe itself, because of the absence of Arabs, since the Jewish community itself were, of course, according to Christianity, not going to heaven in any event, they were allowed to loan money at interest. This began the larger, because they were not allowed to work at any other industry. So therefore, this began the rise of the larger Jewish banking concerns and banking families. Many of the Jewish families joined forces, then began to have considerable economic clout. This did not go unnoticed by the Christian community and oligarchy leadership. So therefore, very quickly, the admonition against loaning money at interest was very quickly dropped. And let us assure you, the Pope was very highly pressured in this.
What time was that?
Within the 16th and 17th centuries, but predominantly in the 16th. Now, this then caused the rise of the large Christian banking families. And in many ways, the large Christian banking families allowed the continuance of Jewish banking concerns, because there would be a profitable interaction between large groups of money and large groups of money. Plus, because of the prevailing thinking, if there were any heat applied, the Jewish concerns would get the first of it and the hardest of it. So therefore, they grew in sizes. Now, many of these Christian banking concerns were formed as certain partnerships, certain organizations, and most, not all, but most, were very secret. The objective, keep a very low profile, use a front organization.
Example of a front organization?
A front organization would be the German banking families.
Like turning taxes?
Mm-hmm. To a degree, yes.
Yeah. What about the Freemasons and those well-known secret societies?
They had their own banking concerns.
Okay. But you're talking about Christian families.
Christian families.
Are these the nobility?
Not so much the nobility. The nobility would share in it and would be partner, but at a very secret level.
Can you give me an example of a name of a Christian family?
Christian family would be the... what is that? There's the Vogel family.
Vogel?
Yes. The minor banking concerns. Most of the highly visible were Jewish concerns.
Yeah, these Christian names weren't known.
Many of them not.
But they had incredible wealth and reservoir.
Incredible wealth. Incredible reservoirs of money. The now the modern offshoot in Italy is the P11.
P2.
P2.
Yeah, P2 Society. Yeah.
P2P.
Heavily connected to the Pope. Like, this is around the Catholic Church.
Very much so.
So we're talking the Catholic Church in a way.
Yes, but very secret.
The Pope was a front for them then.
In some ways, yeah. Yes. But you realize that what we have here is two concurrencies. The Jewish banking families... the Christian observable banking families, and the hidden secret banking concerns. And the larger of these were the secret concerns and these were Christian-dominated. As a response to that brief history lesson, you see? Now, as that grew, the investments... Now, realize that investing took a turn for it, in that it was not that a person who would require money would ask for money. Though this would be happening in a certain percentage. The larger percentage would be that the society would look at industries and businesses and selectively choose, selectively fund.
Secret society, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, they would look at an engineering concern and say, let us put money in this. And the owner, a few days later, would find that he is approached by a local banking concern.